When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
What is going on? Fightful Overbooked fans, coexisting fans, it is Friday, May the 9th. We are glad you are here because we get to talk wrestling for the next hour or so, but we are so glad you are here. My name is Rob Wilkins, and I am joined, as always, by my esteemed co-host, Maggie. Maggie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. First of all, congratulations to Corey for finally being... You know, the first one in the chat, it's a whole thing going on, you know, in the chat. I just hopped off of the prediction show with SP3 over the True Heel Heat channel. You guys know by now, Rob and I always have fun with SP3. He's one of our favorite people. But I mentioned to you this past week when we did the show, about my sister and her channel on YouTube, Daphne Tries Plants. I was finally able to share a video with her. We did collaborate this past Tuesday. And believe me, guys...
Did you stop collaborate and listen?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Ice is back.
Okay, so if you guys... are a fan of what Rob and I do, you're gonna love this video of me and my sister. Believe me, like, if you saw me and my sister on the streets, you will never think that we're both sisters. But like, when we start talking to each other, it totally shows. I had so much fun shooting that goddamn video, and we play off of each other's humor so much that you guys need to watch this. I don't know if she'll ever have time to edit out all of the bullshit from that video, because believe me, there's a bunch of it. And if she ever has a video with bloopers, this will be it. And the entire video has to be bloopers. Seriously. I will definitely share it in all of my social medias when it comes out. So definitely, definitely keep an eye on that. Again, her handle is Daphne Tries Plants on YouTube and on Instagram, so you can follow her if you know, if plants is your thing. But tell your mothers, your sisters, your girlfriends, your wives, and everything. Hide your kids. Hide your wives. Just, you know, because she's good and plants her a passion. Because that's something that I told her. It's so annoying that whenever she starts doing something, she falls out of love with it and just leaves it and then hops on something else. It's so ADHD, man. And I'm like, be consistent with, find something, be consistent with it and roll with it, because you're annoying me. Just do that. And she finally did, and I love this, because I'm not going to be stupid and say it gives you a purpose. Of course, she's a mother. She always, you're a living thing. You already have a purpose. You don't need to, you know, take care of something to, you know, to initially have a purpose. But she loves what she's doing. And please go and support her and follow her. Again, the video will be fucking hilarious. I'm sorry for, damn it. I tried not to. I was specifically on my best behavior on that video. Like, I never cursed. I was just stupid. I didn't even I was just incredibly stupid and dorky, but I was still entertaining. I'm fucking hilarious. So I didn't drop one F-bomb. I deserve all the cookies ever in the world. Seriously. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. I like how you're proud that you did not drop any F-bombs.
I'm so fucking proud, man. You have no idea. I'm so proud. I deserve all the cookies. But hi, guys, this is a wrestling show. It's not a planned show. This is on the other thing, you know. This is a wrestling show. Please leave a like on the video. You know the drill. Leave a like on the video. This is the most free and direct way in which you can support us by dropping the like on the video. Please tap that bell for notifications for Fightful Overbooked. Subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful Overbooked. We have a lot of awesome, awesome content creators on this very channel. Please go and watch the spotlight. Please go and watch Wrestling Made Me Cry and In the Weeds. A bunch of wonderful, wonderful people. And Joel, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, In the Weeds yesterday had Mark Mero. Like, they interviewed Mark Mero. I mean, that's pretty damn cool. You know, like, I grew up watching Mark Mero and WCW WWE back in the day. So, I mean, I don't get jealous much, but that one made me jealous. I think it was SP3 and Jeremy got to interview him. So I haven't had the chance to watch it yet, but I will be. But when Jeremy sent me a message yesterday and said, "Hey, can you make a thumbnail for this?" And I'm like, "You son of a bitch."
Well, not only that, but he's attending a death metal concert tonight.
Oh, yeah? Who's he going to see? Do you know?
Well, it's a festival thing, and there's a bunch of Acid Bath, man. Acid
Bath. Oh, okay.
Cannibal Corpse, and you know all these other ICP. It's just...
Ugh.
Yeah. It's just, you know, a concert, a death metal concert. Headlined by Metallica.
Oh, cool. Fuck yeah. Yeah. But ICP?
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I just do not get it.
I mean, no offense to people that like ICP.
That's absolutely fine. That's but again, this is a wrestling show. Leave a like on the video. Please let us know all your thoughts in the comment section below. If you can, you know, donate a super chat at the bottom of the live chat on YouTube, the little dollar sign, or send a humper chat at humperchats.com. Any amount will get your question or statement live on the air. Thank you so much for your awesome, awesome support. It's so nice to see everyone, all of our, you know, adorable, adorable fans of Coexisting. You know, in the chat, Scott's here, Corey's here, Part Dragon Finisher is here. Bryn, hi, sweetie. The show will never be the show without her. And of course, our wonderful, wonderful friend, Soupy. Thank you guys so much for being here. Clown is always here. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for your support. Again, I will be reminding you throughout the show for, you know, random shit that you can do in order for you guys, you know, to support us. I would like to thank each and every one that leaves a comment below after the stream is done, when you're watching on demand, or after you've watched the show live. Thank you so much. You guys have no idea how much this means to us, and it helps us out a lot with the awful, awful YouTube algorithm, because again, YouTube hates us.
Corey Michael says,
it's not only our parents.
Corey Michael says, I got elbowed in the eye during Metallica concert and had a black eye for 3 weeks and wings afterward.
Because of the Blackened album.
Yeah. I got stepped on by James Hayfield at a WWE house show by accident. So There you go.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah, he stepped on my foot by accident because his bodyguards were trying to push him through a line, and he stepped right on my foot, and he was, sorry, dude. I'm like, James Hayfield, you can take my fucking foot if you want to, dude.
Yeah, step on me harder, James.
Yeah, I was 17, so that part did not come on that did not come to mind, and I wouldn't have gone that way, but like, it was like, I did not want to like touch that foot again. I'm like, the legendary James Hayfield stepped on my foot. He didn't need to apologize. My foot was in the way. My foot should have apologized to James Hayfield the way I looked at it. But
yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've never been so happy for somebody to step on my foot. But yeah, speaking of stepping on feet, which this has nothing to do with stepping on feet.
Nothing.
WWE Backlash taking place tomorrow in St. Louis, Missouri at the Enterprise Center, downtown St. Louis. Beautiful downtown St. Louis, Missouri. That's the only thing that I'll say that's beautiful about Missouri is downtown St. Louis. It's really nice. That's about it. Some parts. Okay. But that's downtown everywhere you go. Anyways, St. Louis, Missouri is hosting Backlash. They are going to the house that Randy Orton built, but not really. Anyways, John Cena versus Randy Orton taking place tomorrow night, main event. But we have other matches taking place, and we're going to talk about those right now. We're going to give you our predictions for that show, and we're going to start with the four-way match taking place for the United States Championship title. You have Drew McIntyre taking on Damian Priest, L.A. Knight, and Jacob Fatu. Maggie, I'm going to be really quick about this. They're not taking that title off Jacob Fatu quite yet. He's going to win. How he's going to win, I don't know, but he's going to win. And there you go. That's really all I can say is, I like all four of these guys in this match. They're entertaining, but Jacob Fatu is the man. And there's no way you put that title on him and let him lose it within a month. There's just no way you do that. I don't think so, Tim. So what do you think? What do you got here?
Like I said before, if the championship was on any other person, I would say that Drew McIntyre is winning the match, because I kind of feel like they owe Drew McIntyre a lot. First of all, and I mentioned this on the prediction show with Stephanie Chase, which I was finally able to be on. You can, catch it on the main Fightful YouTube channel. Initially, they owe Drew for that horrible sing-along that he did at the end of Clash of the Sandcastle. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie? No, just do not remind me of that. I say every time when I remind myself of that. And then his incredible feud with CM Punk this last year. I'm not gonna lie and say that he carried that feud. No, CM Punk was brilliant in that feud too. The initial idea of the feud starting because of a bracelet was, kind of lame and stupid. But the feud itself was pretty good and the matches were awesome. So I kind of feel like they should show their gratitude towards Drew McIntyre. Because he's been the best and he's always right. He's a heel, but he's always right. And you should always, love heels like that, like Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre. But because the championship is on Jacob Fatu, he's probably going to go into a storyline with Solo Sikoa after that. And this will probably be the SummerSlam match. But I've said this multiple times before, WWE is again in that weird spot where they're so lazy in their babyface booking that everyone in the crowd is cheering for the heels. Everyone's cheering Seth Rollins right now. Everyone's cheering Bronson Reed every time he does tsunamis to babyfaces. Everyone's cheering for Jacob Fatu to moonsault people even more. This shouldn't be normal. Like, the audience is cheering for the heels. And this should show you that you're doing a pretty poor job when it comes to building your baby faces.
That is true.
I'll give you that. So, yes, I do agree with you. Jacob Fatu retains.
Yeah. And let us know in chat who you got winning.
Absolutely.
Our clown here says Priest wins, Solo cost Jacob the match, setting up Jacob versus Solo at SummerSlam, which then allows Jacob to win the Money in the Bank after. I think Money in the Bank's before SummerSlam. Right? I think Money in the Bank's in July.
Yeah, Money in the Bank should probably be in July. Also,
Driver says, give it back to LA Knight just for fun.
No. What? No. What are you doing, guys? Please.
Pyo Driver likes Pandemonium, I guess. Bryn says, Fatu wins, but this match is going to rock.
You have way more faith in this pay-per-view card than I do, sweetie.
Happy Friday to you, Fernando. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Fernando, sweetie.
Oh, okay. It's in June. Thank you. I went from July to June.
Yeah.
Even sooner. Wow. Time flies when you're, I guess, having fun. Who knows? Let's go to our next match. How's that sound?
Yes, please.
Don't do it. There we go.
Oh, okay.
Dominic Mysterio taking on Penta.
Why did you say Dominic Mysterio that way? Dominic Mysterio.
Because Dominic Mysterio is just, he's awesome. And he's the best ever. After Bret Hart? No. He's awesome, though. I like Dom. Anyways, Dom versus Penta. I like Penta. I think we all like Penta, but I just don't see Penta getting this Intercontinental title quite yet.
No.
Dom will retain here. I think that's the right call. Let Dom retain. And it sounds to me, or at least looks to me, that we might be getting an AJ Styles Dominic Mysterio feud. Maybe. Who knows? It'd be nice to see AJ in a title feud for something, at least, I'm hoping.
And something.
Yeah. How about this, though? He's wrestling Finn Balor on Monday. That's going to be badass.
Yeah, so. Listen, that makes zero sense. Because I know that I was ridiculously mad that Logan Paul beat AJ Styles.
Well, yeah. I mean, don't...
But,
yeah.
But again, Logan Paul won the match, and now he disappeared. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy about that because I'm not a fan of Logan Paul. But now, all of a sudden, AJ Styles, the loser of the match, is in a future storyline for the Intercontinental Championship.
I do agree with that. But the one thing, for once, I actually don't mind that they actually made it make sense somewhat, is because Dominic Mysterio went in that room and started talking shit, and AJ was right there, and he said, he threw his name, kind of threw his name in the box for it, you know. He's like right there. So I could have been done better, yes, obviously, but at least they made it make sense somewhat. But
AJ called Finn Prince.
Yeah, that was pretty cool too. I did my little in my head. I didn't do it like out loud, but in my head, I'm like, "Oh, Hercules, Hercules, Hercules!" Nutty Professor up in here, but yeah. So I did like that. I like the Prince. I like the Prince reference. Always a big fan of that. And yeah, gonna go back to a little Bullet Club action, and we'll talk about some Bullet Club action going on tonight in California. So we'll talk about that here shortly, but we both have Dom winning this one.
Listen, I adore SP3 so much, and I hate him for being this right when it comes to stuff like that. I know that people are huge fans of Penta, but in reality, he's absolutely right. But WWE are just booking Penta to be just a guy. We were so excited initially when Penta came.
Oh, I like that.
So it was, we were kind of blind by this fact. And because Penta is so good in the ring, but like, he's just there now. I know that, yeah, and this is kind of pissing me off because I know that they tried giving those two, you know, singles runs and everything. And then initially, I'm sure that they're going to pair them together because their tag team, that tag team division sucks, man. And it definitely needs the Lucha Brothers. Yeah. It desperately needs the Lucha Brothers.
I that just SmackDown one's not that good though either. Kidding. After the SmackDown one's loaded.
Yeah, with that awesome TLC match that they had on the SmackDown after WrestleMania. That was so good, man. That was ridiculous. Yeah, and Fraxium are there now, which was Fightful's tag team of the year, which is saying something.
Yeah.
Because
we know.
Yeah, they're so good. Again, the tag team division in mainstream wrestling isn't that good. But they're just so good that they deserve an awesome tag team division when it comes to WWE.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely Dom wins here. Justice for Dom. Again, justice for Dom. Liv Morgan was given time off, even though she was a champion. And Nick Aldis did not want to give Dominic time off because you're a champion, you need to work double time. And I'm like, you just said,
I know,
just said,
I thought that was kind of odd too. Yeah,
just Dominic.
So we got a couple of people that say Power Driver Finisher says Dom's gonna win. Scott George says, well, I had it right here. Let's see where it went. Dirty Dom for the win. Pile Driver says Dom. Eric says Dom wins. El Grande Americano interferes. I could see that. Dom wins with help from Judgment Day says Clown. Bonkers says I like Penta, but Dom. I like Penta a lot, but Dom retains. Pile Driver says I need Dom to squash Miro.
Whoa, hold on just a second.
Brent says,
Rusev. Yeah. Suppose Rusev. It's not Miro.
Brent says Dom retains.
You watch your mouth. Okay? No, don't go that far.
So, I agree with this. Bass says Dynamite and Collision back to back were great. They were.
Still haven't watched Collision. Shut the fuck up.
Okay. you missed a pretty good Collision. I'll say that much.
Okay.
Penta does not need a title to be cool. That is a fact.
Yeah, but at some point he will need a title because he's that good. I mean, awesome wrestlers should be rewarded with titles.
Yeah. So, so we go on to our next match here. Becky Lynch back in her first singles match in quite a long time. Taking on Lyra Valkyria for the women's intercontinental title. I think that Sean Ross Sapp is here, and we're going to bring him on and see what he has to say. Hi.
You all caught me at a good time. I was about to test our StreamYard with TikTok. So we're actually going to run this to TikTok right now. We're going to see if this actually streams to a platform that we just signed with. But I was like, you know, why do mine when I can just put Robin Maggie on the air? Maggie, how are you?
Can I still curse?
I actually, I don't know. I'm not
okay,
sure.
Oh, damn it. I have to be
on the wrong show then.
Damn it.
I think like we got to not get banned within 14 days or something.
Oh,
is where basically the thing, but I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Maybe
it
maybe it doesn't it look says like it's we're working. Live, but if I pull it up on another platform, who knows? But either way, we're here to talk in general. Oh, nope, having trouble streaming to the destination. See, you hate to see it. You hate to see it. But
it was a good run. My fault.
Yeah, we tried. Listen, I've been working on this thing for like a week straight, and it just doesn't work. Or they heard Maggie talk about cursing, and they're like, no.
No, this
China's not ready for this.
What, a Bulgarian? No.
Absolutely not.
They're like, she's not pro jaywalking, so don't want her.
She was so concerned. I want to know what the penalties are for jaywalking in Bulgaria, because like she was sincerely like, whoa.
You're just stupid if you jaywalk and you just want to die. Listen, the penalty. You're just a stupid
single
shithead.
Men out there. If you want to impress Maggie, she likes bad boys. So here's what you do: just walk across the road. Just walk, and Maggie's gonna be like, "Ooh, he's rugged."
That's so fucking stupid, man. Just do not jaywalk.
Thank God we're not on TikTok. That is the
I mean, you don't need to be saying that you're a moron. Just jaywalk and people will know that you're a moron. Just that's so stupid, man. What? No, it's just do not jaywalk.
Why?
You're putting people's lives in jeopardy.
Not really.
No, because if they hit you or they try to move past you, they can... you know, crash into a, you know, it's happened. It's happened multiple times today in Bulgaria. People jaywalk. That's not funny. People jaywalk and they, you know, the drivers desperately try not to hit you because they're going to go to jail. And they drive their car into a post and then they hug the entire post with the car and die.
Just, it was a good run. Wow. Okay. Well, Sean, you had a really good interview with the Good Brothers yesterday.
Yeah, you definitely did. It was so fun.
It was a good one. It was a very good one.
And those guys are hilarious.
Yeah. I thought that I kind of confronted them with the fact that I thought they were lying to me for a long time, but they would just tell me things they weren't supposed to tell me. Pretty wild.
That's when you know they're good. Like you think that it's so made up that it's just like,
yeah. When they had the TNA titles on their shoulders and they're like, yeah, we're going back to WWE. It doesn't matter.
It won't matter soon.
Couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. But yeah, it was good. Honestly, the interview performed way better than I thought. Listen, at this point, I was like, how often does the world need to hear me talk to them? And apparently. Pretty often. It's one of our most viewed interviews in quite some time.
So did Gabe Kidd reach out?
What is it? Gabe Kidd? He didn't, but like usually every company, whether it be GCW or New Japan, if he's got something to promote, they're like, Sean, get on there with him. And this time I was just like, well, who are my options? And I know that Gabe is usually willing to talk to me. So I was like, I actually want the Good Brothers, because at the time that I accepted the interview, they were just shadow figures on a graphic. They weren't technically in New Japan yet. And I was like, oh, okay. So we're going there. But it ended up working out really well. I liked it a lot.
So Gabe Kidd is now gonna have a bone to pick with you, because he's that person.
For sure. He's gonna yell at me about something. For sure.
I think... this is my early prediction. I think the Good Brothers turn on the Young Bucks and they join Gabe Kidd tonight.
Interesting.
That's what
I don't know
happens.
What turns on the Good Brothers these days.
Well, yeah, sorry. Power. That's yeah. Well, that's true. I think that I've phrased that wrong, but yeah, that's they're going to join Gabe. There you go. They're going to.
I can see that. I mean. I'm interested to see, because I mean, the next night, Good Brothers face Finley and gosh, I can't remember who he's teaming with, but it's the War Dogs. Might be Drilla and Maloney. Like that's the next night at Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling as well. So they're continuing that just like two nights in a row. I love it. I mean, like if you look at just how Bullet Club has continued to stay relevant over the years. And of course they have Bullet Club Gold, which is kind of dissolved, but even Ace Austin and Chris Bay in recent years, like there's such a good tag team. And that's something that I mentioned in the interview. It has probably been the stable that has withstood the test of time with no breaks better than any stable in wrestling history, because we're over 10 years. And when Finn Balor went to WWE, people said, oh my God, what are they going to do? Then there's AJ Styles. And then he leaves and people go, oh my God, what are they going to do? And they add Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks. Then they leave. People go, oh my God, what are they going to do? Switchblade Jay White. He leaves and people go, oh really? David Finley? Oh man. Well, that's worked out pretty well as well. And Gabe Kidd. It is just, it's so wild how every time they manage to do really, really well. And I kind of wonder what the next rabbit they're going to pull out of the hat will be. But well, maybe this weekend we find out.
Scott D'Amore, like he's still Bullet Club, maybe.
He booked the match for Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. So
there you go. And he was part of Bullet Club. So there we go. Indeed. Hell yeah.
Considering that considering the confrontation that Ospreay and Gabe Kidd had on Twitter, do you think that that's the Forbidden Door match?
I do. Yeah, I do. Because shit, man. I would do that. I mean, both guys from the area, and you represent New Japan and AEW while still having like a home field match, so to speak. Oh, I think it'd be really good. I think it'd be really good. Plus, they're buddies. They're really good buddies from what I understand. I know that Will Ospreay had a big hand in getting Gabe booked and sort of smoothing over some of those fences after a lot of the things that Kidd said about AEW. Yeah. So I guess we'll see.
All right.
I'm going to go try to fix TikTok. SMH.
All right.
Fix it.
Well, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
Peace out. All right. So
where were we? Becky and Lyra, right?
Becky and Lyra.
Yes. So share your thoughts about this.
Well, what I'd like to see is, and we'll talk about her more here, but I kind of want Lyra to retain because I want Bailey to help her. And I want Bailey and Becky Lynch to have a feud.
Okay.
That's what I want. That's what I want. And I hope I get what I want. However, I have a feeling they're going to put this title on Becky Lynch. And that's okay, because it's Becky Lynch. She's the man. And I get it. I think Lyra's going to be great. I really do. I think she is great. But I thought the Intercontinental title should have went to Dakota Kai first. I thought she would have been a better way to go. Yeah. Yeah. So that went well. And hey, look, we did really, as Soupy pointed out in a tweet this morning, how we did really well with how we thought the new Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins stable would do. I wanted to, if they were going to add it, I was going to add Shayna Baszler and you were going to add Cora Jade.
Yeah, we were so right.
Well. Yeah, that went really well. Meanwhile, 4 hours later.
Yes, legitimately 4 hours later. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Rob and
I'm not too happy. And we'll talk about that shit too.
Yes, Rob and I will be cautious moving on.
Yeah. So yeah, I think my heart wants Lyra to win, but my booking and my business sense thinks that Becky Lynch will get this victory.
So I actually think that Becky wins this match, and because the fan in me wants Becky versus Bailey for the championship. And I don't know, listen, I don't know how they twist this. And it can even turn into a triple threat for the championship at SummerSlam if they would like to. I know it's far, it's really far. They can also do it at Money in the Bank. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to pick Becky. I understand why people are saying that Bayley should come back and cost Becky. This can totally happen right after the match, or on the Raw after Backlash, or on the, you know what I'm going with this. But we're going to talk about Bayley for longer in a bit, but this is where I'm going with. But I would like to add that recently WWE have shown us that putting the inaugural championships on baby faces isn't quite the right thing to do. You know, they did it with the IC championship for the women. They did it for the women's North American championship over at NXT. Not a good idea. The wrestlers that they put the championships on are one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. Lyra's amazing. Kalani Jordan over at NXT was the first ever North American women's champion. Adorable, these women. But it's better to put the championship on a heel and then have the babyface, you know, claw their way back into the championship picture. I would also would like to add that it's awesome seeing Lyra being so comfortable with Becky that we actually finally were able to see a character out of Lyra, because we all know how good she is in the ring. She said it herself. She can't wait to prove that she was the better champion, the better woman, because everyone knows that she was the better wrestler. This was one of her first promos against Becky. Say what you want about Becky, but she is able to put over young women. She did the same for Lyra back in NXT. She did the same thing with Tiffany Stratton again on NXT, even in defeat. And I've always adored the way that she puts over the young talent. And this was in kayfabe a part of Lyra's promo, that she steps on people to get ahead. Personally, I kind of feel like that this is the match I'm most looking forward to on the card. But again, this is a low bar and it's in hell. So, yeah.
All right. So, sounds like we're in agreement here.
Yes.
We move on to this Gunther taking on Pat McAfee. If you would have told me this was the match we were getting last after WrestleMania for Gunther, I would have said, yeah, I don't think so. But we are, and Gunther's going to win. Gunther's going to win. Because if he doesn't, Maggie's going to absolutely lose her mind. And plus it just, like I said before, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I think Pat McAfee's taking time off. I think this is the way they're going to do it. I could be like completely wrong. He might not be. He might be around, but I think this is what they're doing. I think he's going to lose and he'll be taking time off for a while. That's just what I think. What about you, Maggie?
Okay, let's talk about Goldberg. I think we have to address the elephant in the room, because people are speculating about Goldberg, and I want to die.
Okay, go ahead. Talk about Goldberg.
I don't think I will ever be able to recreate the rant that I had on the True Heel Heat channel with SP3. I'm not even going to try, because I'm so tired for this. It's Gunther. It's Gunther. Just, if you're gonna make Goldberg cost Gunther the match via disqualification, you cannot have the audacity to look the audience in the eye and call yourself the ring general. Never, ever do that, ever. Because the ring general knows what they're doing. You cannot call yourself a ring veteran or someone that has been doing this for a long time and have the match won and stop pinning someone because someone's music hits. And you know how long that ramp is, and they're gonna take more than 3 seconds to get down the ramp. And you can easily pin the person and then draw your attention to the person getting out. Okay, so this is one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to wrestling. And if they have the audacity to bring Goldberg back to cost Gunther the match, I'm gonna have to maybe take some time off from doing the show, because I don't know how I'm supposed to excuse this. I don't know. Again, I've been on this show and I've said on this show before, I like Pat. SP3 doesn't Pat on SP3 doesn't like Pat on commentary. He made that perfectly clear. I do. I adore the fact that he brought out the best in Michael Cole, and thank God for that, because the dude looked like he hated his job when Vince was there. Nevertheless, if Pat McAfee beats Gunther, I don't know how I can look myself in a mirror and say that wrestling is my passion. I don't know. You can easily have Gunther destroy Pat, and then Goldberg came out. And I would still hate this, because it will mean that Goldberg and Gunther are going to have a match. And I do not want that at all. It's 2025.
Let me ask you this. If hypothetically, let's just say that you're the booker, let's say that you have the book, and let's say that Ari Emanuel says, hey, we're booking Goldberg, and I want him versus Gunther. Now, let's say this. Now, you get the choice that if Gunther is going to win against Goldberg, would you be fine with it?
It would have to be a squash. It will have to be a fucking squash. Has to be Brock Lesnar versus John Cena, that type of squash. This is how much I would like for Gunther to destroy Goldberg. He needs to be the superior wrestler in this match.
That's the thing. They're not going to go that route.
They're not going to do that. And I'm mad, because they've ruined Gunther for us. They've ruined the guy.
Yeah.
They had the opportunity to have Gunther as the biggest heel, the baddest heel that they've had for years years, and they ruined it.
Yeah. I think I preferably do not want to see Goldberg versus Gunther either. I don't want it. I would rather see Goldberg versus Braun Breaker would be a good call, because we know Braun Breaker is going to go over.
Yeah. This is what I want to see. But not Gunther, man. No.
Yeah. It sounds like we both have Gunther winning here.
Hopefully. Fucking.
Yeah.
Hopefully, man.
Yep. We now move on to our main event, Randy Orton versus John Cena.
I don't give a fuck.
Maggie does not give a fuck. John Cena's going to win. Yeah, I know they're in St. Louis, the home that Randy Orton built, but that doesn't matter. Not in this case. Oh, good old Randy Orton's not going to win. They're just doing him a solid by booking him as the main event in St. Louis.
Sure.
Which is a good thing, I think. Good for him to main event a pay-per-view in your town. Where you live is always a good thing. However, that does not help him get a victory. He's not going to win that title. Will John Cena win that title? Absolutely. Or carry on with that title? Yes. Will he get help from maybe Travis Scott? Quite possibly. I don't really think that's necessary. I think John Cena will win I think he'll win with a kick in the dick. Something like that. Kick to the dick. Something like that.
Oh, you remember that old school match between the two when Randy Orton attacked the referee and got himself disqualified? Do you think John Cena does the same here?
I hope not. I don't like those kind of finishes. It just seems like
it'll make sense if afterwards Cody Rhodes comes back.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But
because come on, they cannot have the show close with John Cena staying on top of the hometown babyface, and that's how they end the show. I'm pretty certain Cody Rhodes is coming back.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah. And
yeah.
But like this match sincerely means nothing to me. I was never a fan of Randy Orton. It's weird now that he's a face because we're getting a face Randy versus a heel Cena, and this is so strange. And I'm most definitely not looking forward to 20 minutes of wrist holds and choke holds and everything, and headlocks. No, it's a weird thing. The weird slow methodical pace that Randy Orton has, combined with the lack of explosiveness that John Cena has now that he's a heel, it's definitely going to be a weird match. And the only thing that will make the match awesome is the crowd. I'm going to tune into this match because of the crowd. On this very pay-per-view last year, when they were in France, the people started singing for Randy Orton's theme, and I'm so happy that they set up a standard and now everyone's singing Randy Orton's theme. I'm really happy about that because the guy deserves it. I mean, he may not be my cup of tea, but like, he's been in the business for years and years now, and he absolutely deserves that, you know, recognition and that respect from the audience. I may not like Randy, but I most definitely respect the crap out of that guy. And you can tell right now that he's having the time of his life. He's having fun, and you can tell.
Sorry, this popped me. Power Driver finisher says Cena wins with the Shooting Star Press.
Yes, that is it. That is most definitely it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, we both have John Cena winning here.
Yes.
Well, Maggie, how about we go to a little Cooper Effect action?
Please.
Earlier, Maggie, you asked me, Rob, can you find a Cooper effect? And I replied quickly, yeah, I think I have one we should do. And her name is Bailey. And you agreed. Now, you're probably asking yourself, why Bailey? Because why not Bailey? Why not Bailey? Yes, WWE's Bailey. She recently took a former WWE announcer. I don't want to say his name, but I probably will end up saying his name. Kind of went on a rant yesterday and basically said Bailey said Bailey was washed up. and he was she was boring. He said, Bailey is done. She's washed up and boring. Okay, I'll go ahead and say it. It was Jonathan Coachman. He said, she's nothing. She's nothing anymore.
Well, not anymore. He said that he never got her.
He never got her. He says, I don't mind. This is the thing. If you don't like a wrestler, that's fine. But when you make it personal, and especially when you're like somebody that was in that industry, I just find it messed up because he made a comment that said, when he was there, he said, he seen her backstage and he just kind of wondered why? Like he even said, I'm surprised she wasn't one of the people that got released. I think that's incredibly fucked up to say.
He said that?
Yeah, he said that. He said his issue with Bailey is that she is like other underwhelming WWE superstars he's seen in his tenure. Jonathan Coachman got to where he is because of The Rock.
Oh yeah.
In WWE. That's the only reason he got to where he's at. Otherwise, Jonathan Coachman is somebody that's gone from WWE. Like, it's a name we forget. And that's just the way I feel. He also thinks that being friends with Mercedes Moné hurts her in WWE. He says he thinks it's going to come back and bite her because she's friends with Mercedes. I think that's asinine to say that. It's just wrong to be like that and to say that, because the Cooper Effect is about the things about good people and the good things they do. And Bailey has been one of those people in WWE that has made girls from a young age just absolutely love her. Like even like they loved her. Like she's a hugger, you know, like they loved her. She got a lot of kids into wrestling because they loved what she did, what she represented. She was all smiles, like with her old gimmick. She was hilarious with Ding Dong, you know, with Michael Cole. My favorite bit in the longest time in WWE is her and Michael Cole. Like, I love that. That was one of the best things going with WWE during the COVID era. Like, one of the best things. It was just hilarious. Like, and the fact that it even went on past the COVID era, like, just a little bit, I loved it. I think Bailey is a fantastic person. From everything I've seen, she is always smiling, you know. She is beloved by everyone in the back. You know, like, everybody just absolutely loves her that I've seen. And I don't know. I've never seen people go out of their way to praise Jonathan Coachman. I've seen people go out of their way to praise Bailey. I know one thing. Granted, Jonathan Coachman is not a wrestler, but I've never turned on WWE to say, I want to listen to what Jonathan Coachman says on commentary. I've never turned on ESPN when he was a SportsCenter anchor to say, hey, I'm glad Jonathan Coachman anchoring SportsCenter. Like, I mean, that's different. Like, you know, that like he's the guy doing that. I understand that. That's completely different. But I'm saying I think it's weird to say for somebody that in his position to say that, like, I don't see why they do this. I don't see why he's welcome to have his opinion. It's just dumb that he shares it like that. He's trying to get people to watch his show. Okay. It's just don't throw others under the bus like that, because it's just batshit crazy wrong, I think. And Bailey's awesome. Everything about Bailey is awesome. So, and I won't mention the podcast that he does with another person. I just won't. So hell with him. But
yeah. So what? Excuse me. What?
I said, I know you love Bailey.
I adore Bailey. So here, listen, I know that everyone has a right to their own opinion. That's a fact. But it really baffles me when you feel so strongly about something that is so subjective, man. And because wrestling is subjective and there's wrestling for everyone. Like there's so many types of wrestling, and throughout the entire world, there are companies dedicated for certain types of wrestling so that everyone can have a wrestling to enjoy. So again, wrestling is incredibly subjective. And listen, if it's not something grossly racist or, you know, horrible or anti-humane, you know, unless it's something like this, it baffles me how you should feel so strongly negative about something that, again, that is subjective. And when I was listening and or watching to that segment, because of course I didn't have time to watch or listen to the entire thing, and I'm not gonna spend time on that. I was trying to remember how I remembered Coach in wrestling, and I decided that it is weird take something personal from someone that is mostly known for being booted off the interview segment after singing Copacabana with The Rock. This is how I remember Coach. This is legitimately the only thing I remember from Coach from WWE. Again, I'm sorry if this is offensive to people, but like, you cannot say mean stuff towards someone like Bailey, who inspired an entire generation of girls to be wrestlers because she legitimately did. Izzy is right now a wrestler because of Bailey, because of everything that Bailey has shown in the Performance Center. Izzy never missed a show. She always hugged Bailey when, you know, she was about to go into the ring. We have legitimate proof. I am incredibly sure that Roxanne Perez is one of, you know, the other people which were incredibly influenced by Bailey to become a wrestler. AJ Lee too, but Bailey was right up there. And to say that, listen, I mentioned this on Twitter or X or whatever. Whenever you use the phrase, what does that person bring to the table, I automatically shut you down. My brain shuts off and like I start twitching because that phrase is so toxic. Incredibly, incredibly toxic. What do you bring to the table? I will stop listening to you and bring a baseball bat to the table so I can fucking crush your skull. Because you're so fucking ignorant using that phrase, you know, invented by stupid, dull men that have nothing else to do than have, you know, a podcast talking about what women bring to the table. And I'm not talking about Coach right now. I'm talking about the origin of this stupid, stupid, you know, phrase when it comes to other people. Yeah. This legitimately pissed me off because one of my favorite moments in last year's Royal Rumble was Bailey winning the Rumble, getting on the ropes, pointing at the WrestleMania sign, and that entire audience was pointing at the WrestleMania sign with Bailey. Tell me how, like, are we watching the same show? You can't say stuff like that. When you have things like this, Bailey versus Io was a phenomenal match at last year's WrestleMania, and because of the importance of the main event being Seth, Cody, and versus Bloodline, and then Cody versus, you know, Roman Reigns. It was kind of overshadowed, but they were still there. And you cannot possibly erase Sasha Banks versus Bayley at TakeOver. You cannot possibly erase this from WWE/NXT history. They can try, because Sasha Banks not there anymore. Like, they can definitely try, but they're not erasing this from our memory, because to this day, this is probably one of the best women's matches I've ever seen.
Yeah,
right up there. And we had an awesome match like this at this past week's NXT with Jordynne Grace and Julia. Phenomenal match. I mean, Bayley and Sasha Banks set the standard of excellence when it comes to women wrestling. You cannot tell me that Bayley has never put a seat on, asses in seats. You cannot tell me that people don't pay money to watch Bayley. All the little girls with the side ponytails, you know, that they're dressed like Bayley. One day Bayley will have that look back. And the audience will rejoice. And Coach can suck a bag of dicks.
Yeah. So we're gonna move on. I know you didn't watch Collision, so we're not gonna talk about that. What do you think of Dynamite this week?
God, I love Hangman so much. I love Hangman so fucking much. I mean, this last week's Dynamite just proved to me that Hangman is the most important character in AEW history. He is it. And he just further proved that with each and every facial expression that he does, he tells a storyline. I know that a lot of people don't like AEW because they lack storylines, but you cannot tell this with a straight face while having the whole Hangman persona in there. He legitimately explained his look while he was walking backwards on the ramp after his match against Swerve.
Yeah.
He said that he felt nothing. And that is exactly what his expression told, that he felt nothing. And I adored the back and forth between him and Will Ospreay, because Will Ospreay was so fucking good here too.
Yeah.
He brought up it, yes, he brought up his bit with Dark Order, and I'm like, man, I miss Dark Order. I miss it. It felt like simpler times when Hangman and Dark Order were a part of, you know, that thing that they did. They're going to team next week against members of the Don Callis family. Josh Alexander and who?
Was it
Takeshita?
I think it was Takeshita. It was Takeshita. I'm pretty sure.
Please correct this in the chat, because Josh Alexander was the first one. Because I hope Josh Alexander and the other person.
I'm pretty sure it was Takeshita.
Okay, so I hope they win.
Ospreay and
no, Takeshita. Hope they win, because I hate the fact that Josh Alexander has lost. You know, he's lost, and also because those two people have never tagged with each other. You know, they're not well, granted, you know, Josh Alexander and Takeshita haven't been a tag team themselves, but like they're a part of a faction, which is better, you know. And Will Ospreay and Hangman, they said it themselves, they've never interacted with each other. So it'll be so baffling if they outline, you know, won the match. So there's supposed to be friction between the two because of their upcoming match at Double or Nothing. A wonderful, wonderful segment. I am intrigued to see why the Death Riders were waiting for the Elite in their locker room. I suppose that they're gonna have a thing, and then we're gonna have Anarchy in the Arena at Double or Nothing afterwards. But what did you think of Dynamite? Tell me.
Oh, I thought it was a really good episode. Dynamite's been hitting out of the park lately. Collision's been really good too lately. Mm-hmm. I've liked both shows. and nobody in chat like spoil this, but I think you'll really enjoy Collision this week too. I enjoy it. I enjoyed it. And they're making, like, don't get me wrong. Like, when, if you tell me that Hangman and Will Ospreay are going to wrestle each other, you don't really need to like build it up for me, because I'm going to watch it regardless, because it's a match that I think is going to be great. Those two have only been in a ring against each other in tag matches. They've never had a solo match, a singles match. So, like, right now, I'm like, just, it's like, give me this, you know? So the fact that they are building a story on top of this is, makes me happy. And it's a good story, because we already know that Will Ospreay has a history with Swerve, and it's a good history, you know? So there's that. And I'm very intrigued by this. I think Hangman's going to win a Double or Nothing. I really do, because I think he's going to be the guy that wins the title off of Mox. But that's me.
Listen, Darby Allin's been breaking records and, you know, doing stuff on mountain on Everest.
I think it's Mox.
Hangman.
I think it's Hangman still. I think it's. Well, I think that's the way. I think it's the way they got to go.
They said it themselves. It's Hangman's redemption versus Ospreay's ascension, which is so good, man. Put that on a t-shirt.
Ascension and dissension. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's just been, overall, it was good. I'm liking the MJF and Hurt Syndicate stuff. I'm really enjoying this. And even though MJF beat the shit out of my guys,
Like, you didn't have to do.
I'm like, there's other teams involved. Come on, let's go.
Why did it have to be there?
Why those guys?
Yeah.
Why you got to take my guys on? But I liked it, and I think this is just me. I think probably others feel the same way. I think that MJF's gonna get in the. Going to get in the Hurt Syndicate, and when it comes to the time that it matters, he's just going to walk out on him, you know, like the typical MJF thing, you know. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Do you know, I know it's probably not going to happen, but do you know what I want to, you know, happen? So Lashley told MJF that he's going to have an answer for him next week. So they come out next week to the ring, and Lashley says, "Everyone, please welcome the newest member of the Hurt Syndicate." And Alexander comes out.
Yeah, that would be ideal. That would be ideal. I just, like, my thing is, I don't know. And I hope, like, I don't know, like, with Cedric. I mean, there's a lot more to Cedric and AEW. So, but I hope it's one of those things. Whatever's best for Cedric is what I want.
Yes.
So. We will have to see, but yeah, that would be pretty badass. Because if AEW is going to make, if WWE wants to miss out on that money they could have made, I'm glad somebody is making money. And the Hurt Syndicate, Hurt Business, I loved them so much back in the day, and I thought they were great. That was one of my favorite parts of the COVID era. Like, go down, like, for me, as one of my favorites, favorite bits or favorite things during wrestling COVID era. There wasn't much.
Bailey and Sasha.
Oh yeah, Bailey and like, for WWE wise, it was Bailey and Sasha and Hurt Business. You know, that was pretty much it for me. I hope. There's also a part of me that kind of wonders if maybe Hurt. I think this is extremely doubtful, but could you see it where the Hurt, like, MVP and Shelton Benjamin, like, just join MJF instead? Like, maybe just kind of turn their back on Bobby? Do you see that happening, maybe? I don't, but I saw somebody throw that out there, and I was like, yeah, you know, that's kind of entertaining, but. The other thing, too, is I think it'd be better if MJF just does that. Like, if they do add MJF to the group, I would like to see him, like, work his way in, and then when it comes down to it, he just walks away like when they need him most, you know, like he just like it was
listen
just him.
Not I'm sure that at some point MJF's gonna call Shelton Benjamin Benjamin Shelton. I know. I know he will call him that in a promo. He will.
Ah.
So
fucking idiot that guy is. Hulk Hogan, yeah. That is.
Yeah. Not before this happens. This needs to happen. And I don't know if I'm a fan of that because I don't think that they've milked Hurt Syndicate enough. Because yeah. I think that that group is money, man.
Oh, I do too. That's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I do too. I think it's money, but that's the thing about MJF. I could always, like, that's the thing with MJF. He makes things so interesting, like booking wise. Like, you, there's so many ways that you can go with him. That's what makes him so intriguing. That, and that's what I like about MJF. He's one of the best characters AEW has and will ever have. And I think in the business altogether, because he's just one of those guys that, I mean, we look at it this way. When he teamed with Adam Cole, we were always waiting on him to be the one that turned on Adam Cole, you know,
yeah.
Like, or turned heel on Adam Cole. I need to stop saying turned on because people take that out of context.
Children.
You're
all children who take that out of context. I understand what you mean.
Yeah, I know. But
you're just kids and Sean.
Yeah. Yeah, get this. But anyways, I mean, we all, like, for the most part, thought it was going to be Hangman, or excuse me, MJF, that always was going to be the one that would turn heel on Adam Cole, you know, would backstab Adam Cole. We always thought that, and 'cause we've seen it time and time again. So, but yeah. So, but Double or Nothing's coming up in 3 weeks, so that's going to be good. Oh, tonight on SmackDown, John Cena returns, so you got that going on, which
Do
I know
you
will watch.
To talk about awful stuff before we got off the show.
Yeah. We'll talk about that here shortly. I'm just wanting to pull something up. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and bring that up. So. Last week, we know that after our show ended, a few hours later, that WWE did some releases, which is something we always hate. It always puts a damper on the night when that happens. As many of you know, WWE released multiple people last Friday. Braun Strowman, Dakota Kai, just numerous people, and I'm gonna bring the list up here shortly. But May, like, you are the first person I text because I just know, like, how much it sucks, and usually I have to talk to somebody about it because it irritates me, and usually the last thing I want to do is watch. It literally bothers me so much when I see that these people lose their jobs. And I know, like, some people are like, why do you get so, like, worked up about it? Because these people, they're most of them are living their dream, and it gets taken away from them because who knows why. But and you see like TKO touting they have record profits and stuff like that. It aggravates the hell out of me that they do this. And I know that's how business is. I get that. I don't like it. That's all. And I don't like it when people like Dakota Kai, who is amazing, get released. I don't get that. Like, I think Dakota Kai's great. I think what Braun Strowman brought eyes from a different fan perspective. Like, I know a lot of the internet wrestling community doesn't really get the Braun vibe, but outside of that, a lot of people enjoy Braun Strowman. They do. He gets a pop. Like, if you watch on SmackDown when he comes out, or on Raw, he always gets a pop. And I I don't know. I just think he was a good, I thought he was a good guy for them to have in the company. Now, I understand, like, this is a business. I do. I just don't like the way it's done. And I don't think anybody likes that people lose their job. And it just sucks. That's all what it comes down to, that you see these people living their dream and then it gets taken away from them. And they can't do anything for either 30 or 90 days. It just sucks. That's all. That's how I feel about it.
Which one shocked you the most?
Dakota Kai shocked me the most.
Yes.
That one shocked me the most, for sure.
I was baffled by those releases. But granted, I'm always baffled by any releases. Somehow, they've been doing this.
Lost Maggie?
Yeah, I just muted my mic.
There she is.
Yeah. yeah, so they've been doing this after WrestleMania for a while, and somehow I always forget about that. Because I kind of want to. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. Dakota Kai was one of the weirdest releases ever. Jakara Jackson and Cora Jade... Yeah. Are the ones that absolutely shock me too, because they're so young. Like, they just started wrestling. And I know, like I've said this on this on the show before, I know that Cora Jade sadly was a part of NXT history. Being a part of a roster of women that got over extremely well, and she just got injured, and like she was kind of left out, but she would have gotten there. I mean, she catches up immensely fast, and mm-hmm. people love her in TNA. She was extremely professional, and like it's just really weird. And I know that Cora Jade is gonna tear it on the indies again, because it was an awesome time for her. I don't think that any of the talent that got released is going to struggle for work.
No.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Any of them. But they're also not going to renew Shotzi's contract too.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of weird. But Dakota Kai, seriously. And I know a lot of people have said this on the internet, but they're absolutely right. Just reunite Team Kick. Tegan Nox is there. Nixon Newell, she's there. And just... I don't want to speculate where any of them are going to go or any of them are going to sign. Whatever is best for them is going to be best for Rob and I. We've always been pretty vocal when it comes to stuff like that. We support the wrestlers. Whatever is in their minds. Riley Osborne being released while he was injured.
Yeah, they did the same thing to Carl Anderson too. But
the same thing with Carl Anderson. That's a whole different type of weird, man. And it's just baffling, man. It's always a sad day, and I'm so sorry that I'm usually asleep when releases happen, and you know, you can't vent and I can't vent to you too, and it's double awful, because the first thing I see when I wake up is you texting me that there are releases, and that's like,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Awful here.
Yeah, it sucks. The wrestlers that, and I said I'd go over the wrestlers that got released. It was Braun Strowman, Shayna Baszler, Dakota Kai, Katana Chance, Caden Carter, Cora Jade, Gigi Dolan, Eddie Thorpe, Gallus, which is Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang, Riley Osborne, Jakarta Jackson, Oro Mensa, Javier Bernal, Danny Palmer, and I think that was it.
We were just wondering why they broke up the metaphor. That was it.
Yeah.
That was why they broke up the metaphor. Gallus, don't get me fucking started, man. Those people do not appreciate NXT UK. Not appreciate NXT UK. I would be shocked if Gallus don't come back to RevPro. Go to RevPro. Just do a bunch of stuff. I just want to see Gallus versus Grizzled Young Veterans once again. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Gigi Dolin, Kaden and Katana, they just hate women tag team wrestling. They just hate it. I don't know what they're going to do with Tatum Paxley now that Gigi's gone and they're not renewing Shotzi's contract. But if they miss out on Paxley, Paxley's a future star.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would have said the same for Gigi too. But like, they released probably one of the most legitimate women tag team that they had on that entire roster. They just released them. I don't know what they're planning to do with those women tag team championships, but apparently it's not much.
No. No. Yeah, so tonight, other than SmackDown, there is a show. New Japan Resurgence is taking place in Ontario, California, I believe. I believe that's where it's at. Anyways, tonight, Ontario, California, Toyota Arena takes place at 8:30 Eastern, I believe, when it starts. And tonight, the pre-show match for Strong Survivor is Alan Breeze versus CJ Tino. Singles match, Matt Vandegrift versus Fred Rosser. You have the 8-man tag match, Bullet Club War Dogs, David Finlay, Gabe Kidd, Clark Connors, and Gato taking on the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers. You have the New Japan Strong Openweight Tag Team Titles, World Class Wrecking Crew, Royce Isaacs and Jarrell Nelson taking on United Empire's TJP and Templario. You have the Strong Openweight Championship, Gorilla Maloney taking on Tomohiro Ishii, Ishii's the champion. Never Openweight Title match, El Phantasmo challenging Takeshita. Takeshita's defending his Never Open title. New Japan Strong Women's Championship, Mercedes Moné taking on Azumi and Mina Shirakawa. The main event, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Hirooki Goto taking on Zack Sabre Jr. So, good big show, I think. This show looks awesome. So, New Japan Pro Wrestling's Resurgence taking place tonight, Friday, May 9th, in Ontario, California, at the Toyota Arena.
I mean, I might as well watch New Japan as opposed to SmackDown when I wake up tomorrow.
Might be happier. Tonight on SmackDown, like I said earlier, John Cena returns. You also have a tag match with LA Knight and Damian Priest taking on Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. And then you have a number one contender match for the WWE Women's title. Jade Cargill battles Nia Jax.
Wait a minute.
Yo. What up?
Just hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of mad here.
Uh-oh.
LA Knight faced Priest on last week's SmackDown and Solo Sikoa caused a DQ. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I thought I saw that match by now.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Continue.
It looks like Corey Michaels might be doing the coverage for
New Japan, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Over on The Observer. So check that out.
Please support Corey.
Yeah. Corey Michaels. He's a good guy. Good dude. Well, that's all I got, Maggie. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Fightful broke the news that about the some recent signings recently. So make sure you check out Fightful Select. So that, I mean, you got TNA has been signing people like crazy lately. AEW.
Okay. We got the Tekla tease.
Yeah.
But try to put yourself into my fucking head when I saw the spider on the AEW game, you know, logo. And I was like, oh my God, it's AJ Lee. Oh my God, it's AJ. And then I'm like, oh wait, it's AEW. It's not, because there, yeah, she's not gonna go there when CM Punk. No, that's not happening. Okay, so it's, yeah, Tekla. Okay, so it's, yeah, that's fine. But like for a mini second, my heart went into my throat for a mini second.
Yeah, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and yeah, I get it. Something else that like just broke a little while ago on FightfulSelect.com. Sean Rossap is reporting that Sean Rossap, Jay Walker, known Jay Walker, yeah, said that AEW star is in contract year. Fightful has learned that Willow Nightingale is in her contract year. So she'll definitely be approached for a new contract, I'm sure. I would assume that's a safe assumption. I don't like to assume much, but I'm sure that would be a safe assumption that they will try to probably re-sign her, if I were to guess. Check out all kinds of stuff on Fightful Select. Sean updated his story on Juice Robinson's health recovery. Not sure when he's going to be back, but it shouldn't be too much longer, the way it sounds. So tons of stuff on there. Fightful Select, best $5.99 you can spend your money on.
Discord and whatever.
Yeah, access to the Discord. Sean answers a lot of questions on there. So, I mean, you can pretty much, if you have a wrestling question, you can leave it on, like, on the, Sean, on the Ask Sean Ross section, you know, and he'll pretty much get to it, like, if he knows it, you know, and if he doesn't, he usually acknowledges it if he sees it. So, tons of stuff there. I mean, that's the great thing about his Q&As. Even I learn things, so. Yeah. But, other than that, that's all I got. Maggie, tell everybody where they can find you.
Guys, you can follow my stupid sister Ed at Daphne Tries Plants on YouTube and on Instagram. Again, I will be sharing our video and anytime she gets to it, and you know, a lot of editing to do. Again, like, it's my sister and I, a lot of shenanigans. But you can also follow me on Twix or X or whatever, at Maggie_IK. You can follow me on Instagram at Maggie.IK and on Blue Sky at Maggie-IK. Please also tune into the prediction show with me and Stephanie Chase from this past week for Backlash, and also my prediction show with SP3 and I over at the True Heel Heat channel that we did right before our show. Again, guys, at the end of the show, please leave a like on the video. It helps us out a lot. And also, please, please leave a comment below after, you know, the video is done. It helps us out a lot with the algorithm. Thank you. Thank you so much for your support, guys. Rob?
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob. And I'm also on Threads at Fightful Rob. Maggie, I'm going to give you a dad joke before we go.
Please.
Today, I learned that in order to open a zoo, you must have at least 4 pandas, 2 grizzlies, 3 black, 4 brown, and 1 polar bear. Apparently, that's the bare minimum.
Oh, but
guys, we will see you next Friday
eventually
at 3 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Coexisting. We appreciate you guys so incredibly much. I want to say thank you again, and we will see you next week. Peace out. Enjoy Backlash if you watch it. Enjoy SmackDown if you watch it. Enjoy New Japan Pro Wrestling Resurgence if you watch it. Just enjoy pro wrestling, because we respect you and we want you to, and we think you're great. So peace out, everyone. Talk to you later. See ya. And leave a comment for us, please. That helps us out a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.